the 18th chapter of Luke, commencing at verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, now this is a revelation from the Son of God. No one else could really ever tell this about a man except God. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now God will bless this reading of his word. And what I wish to notice with you a little tonight is the second man who was standing in the temple praying. It is very instructive when we read the words of the Lord Jesus. I have often thought when I read the teaching of the Savior with what feeling he must have taught the people. And here we find the Lord Jesus, and often he stood in the courtyards of the temple, and he would see the people coming and going, and he could see in those people what no one else could see. He could see their heart. And these two men in this parable were typical men of many of the individuals that made their way up to the religious center there in Jerusalem and Palestine, bringing offerings, bringing gifts, some of them expensive gifts. Others, the Lord Jesus could see their heart, and he recognized that they were not sincere, they weren't real. But these two people, these two individuals in the parable of the Lord Jesus, there is a sense in which they represent everyone who is gathered in this room tonight. And my friend in the meeting, I would like you to get a look at these two men just for a moment, and particularly the last one. What I want you to notice about them both is that they both came into that place in the same condition, but they both left the place in a different condition. The first man, he went home, actually worse than when he came. Poor man. He had told God things about himself that he didn't really understand about himself. And you know, my friend in the meeting, it may be while you've been listening to Mr. Kember as he's presented you the truths of Romans chapter 5, that they've almost gone over your head. You missed the point. That's a possibility. We hope it's not true, but that's a possibility. You missed the point. God loves me, not because I'm good, but because I'm a poor, miserable, helpless sinner, and if it wasn't for the love of God, I'd go to hell. I hope you got the point. But you know the other dear man, the publican, he went up to that temple to pray, a miserable, downcast, broken-hearted sinner. And he went home, and the burden was lifted. He went home with divine peace in his soul. And the word of the Lord Jesus described his condition. He went home, saved, justified. Well, I can almost see him as he would go into his house. Whether he's a married man or not, I do not know. But I would like to imagine that he might have been. And he would be able to step inside the front door and be able to say, I'm saved. I'm going to be in heaven. I have the assurance of it in my soul. I'm not going to be punished for my sins. I am saved. My friend in the meeting, that's God's great purpose through the preaching of the gospel. And if you've come into this meeting tonight, and through listening to the preaching of the former part of the meeting, perhaps your conscience has been awakened. I hope that there's a man in this meeting tonight, a young man or a young woman, an older person perhaps, and perhaps you're feeling a little of the sentiments of this second man. I hope you're not like the first man. He went home and he went home just like he came. As far as his condition was concerned, he had nothing to die with, nothing to be God with. He had nothing to keep him out of hell. He had nothing to take him into hell. Oh, friend, don't go home like that. This is worry from the table. And the second man went home, thank God, he was ready to meet God. He had God's personal forgiveness for all his sins, righteously and eternally. Thank God, friend, that's what salvation is. And that's the great hope that we have, that someone in the meeting tonight will be able to leave this meeting with the rejoicing of a true, scriptural, solid joy. God has saved my soul. I will never be in hell. It's a real thing to be saved. You know, there's another lovely truth that I want you to notice before I point out to you four things about this dear man in his experience of getting salvation. It's nice to notice that God's salvation is instantaneous. This is not a process, my friend. Perhaps you're not acquainted too frequently with this type of preaching, but we would like to assure you that God's great plan of salvation for us, poor, dying, frail, sinful men, is not a process. It's not something that you must go through in the sense of learning and education and being catechized and learning this and the other and having an experience or a ritual, not at all. Why, my friend, in that chair where you sit, in this little auditorium tonight, you could receive from God the scriptural assurance that your sins are forgiven, your soul is delivered for all eternity from the righteous wrath of an holy God against your own sin. You could have that in a moment of time, sitting upon that chair. That's what happened to this man. He stood in the courtyard of that temple, a miserable sinner in the consciousness of his ruin. And he went out with the joy of a burden lifted and his soul saved. My friend, tonight, we want to preach to you and get you to recognize from the outset of this portion of the meeting, you could be saved for eternity tonight and know it and never lose it. All the blessedness of God's salvation. Now, very simply, I wish you to notice four things about this man, and I'm going to speak up in this way. I want to look at this publican as a lonely sinner. A lonely man, as he stands in the precincts in the courtyard of that temple, he is a lonely sinner. But there's something I wish you to notice about him as well. He's a longing sinner. He's longing to know divine forgiveness for his sins. And then I would like you to notice that he discovers he's a lost sinner. He's totally lost within himself. But what I want you to notice, like we've been hearing in the former part of the meeting, he discovered he was a loved sinner, loved of God. And I can see as I look at this man in the teaching of the Lord Jesus, that's the moment of his conversion. When he lifted his eye away from himself in all his misery, he looked to the provision that God had made for him and had prescribed it before he was ever brought into the world. And as he looked at the divine provision, it dawned into his soul, that's the answer for my sins. And he went away home forgiven. My friend, that's the truth that you've been hearing. This is the experience of it in the case of this man. And I trust it will be your experience tonight. Let me address myself in a very personal way to the younger folk who are here. I know that there are some of you here sitting with your parents tonight, and perhaps sitting with your chums. And you came to the conference, and likely the feeling of your heart was as it was mine when I came to Toronto Conference before God saved me. I knew why my parents were going to the meetings. They loved to go. They enjoyed the singing. They enjoyed the ministry. I can see yet my dad's head bobbing up and down in my mind's eye as he would listen to the preaching of truth, and it thrilled his heart. But I sat there and fiddled with a pencil, looked through the hymn book, tried to read it upside down, anything at all, because there was no response in my heart. I was a lonely sinner. I was out of it all. I had no appreciation of the joy of the believers in their blessed Savior and in the Word of their God. I had no part in it. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, I want to say to you kindly, dear young man and young woman, God knows your loneliness tonight. And I would like to tell you, it's your sin that separates you from God. That is the reason for your loneliness. Look at this man in this respect. Perhaps I would speak to you, younger friend here, and say to you why you came and stepped inside the doors of this auditorium to take your seat in this room. It just may be that you felt that way. I hope so. Some boy, some girl, some man or woman, as you sit on your chair at this moment, perhaps the tear has come to your eye, as you felt in the depth of your soul the loneliness. You're alone in your sin. You have no link with Christ. Consequently, you have no assurance of heaven. And if anything were to overtake that frail, that precious little thread of your life, your soul would drop like a stone into the utter lostness of hellfire. And you've got nothing to hang on to. And you're feeling the loneliness of being a sinner. That's just like this man. You know how the Lord Jesus describes him? He stood apart. He stood in a place all alone, just like a person perhaps who would take the very farthest seat in the corner of the auditorium if they could, just to be alone in the misery of their sinfulness. That's what this man did. He stepped inside between the pillars of that great court, and he stood there. You can almost see him as he stands behind that pillar, and his head is bowed, and his hand is upon his breast. And he doesn't know what to say anymore. And the people are rushing around him. Some of them are rejoicing as they come into that place. They've known fellowship with God, but he has no fellowship with God. There's others, and they're going out, and they're rejoicing in the fact that they've been accepted by God. But he doesn't have that assurance. He stands alone. He hears the lifting up of the voices of the chanting of the priests. He hears the people as they add their loud amens to the chanting of praise to God. And he has no part in it. He's alone. Alone in his sin. All the awfulness of being a lonely sinner. No link with heaven. No link with God. No link with the joy of divine salvation. No link with the hope of glory. Alone in the emptiness of a sinful heart, and a world that cannot satisfy, and a past that would bring you into judgment, and your consciousness, you're conscious of this tonight. I'm alone. I have no part in it. I'm on the way to hell, and I don't know what to do about it. Isn't that the picture of this man? Ah, if that's your condition, friend, let me say to you, the Lord Jesus spoke of this man with tenderness. And as you've been hearing in the former part of the meeting tonight, God has his eye upon you, young man, in the meeting. He knows, young woman, the sentiment of your heart as you sit with the emptiness of your heart and the darkness of a consciousness of being a sinner in the eye of an holy God who must shut you out of his presence forever because of the vileness of your own sin. The Lord Jesus spoke of this man. He spoke of him with a personal delight in this parable because he was glad to be able to say, I tell you, this man went home justified. Ah, friend in the meeting, again I would assure you, in the loneliness and the darkness of your heart tonight in your sin, God has his eye upon you. And the heart of the blessed man, Christ Jesus, who sits at the right hand of his Father, whose hands bear the marks of his blessed and true love for a poor, lonely, miserable sinner like you. They speak to your heart tonight, friend. Look at my wounded hands and see. I bore
the nails for thee, your soul in the meeting without a Savior. God has set his eye upon you, and the work of the Lord Jesus at Calvary was explicitly to meet your need as a lonely, helpless sinner, that you might be saved and go home tonight like this man went home, with the blessed assurance, my sins are gone, my fears are o'er, and I dread God's presence now no more. But thank God he has a longing sinner. You know, it takes a divine work in our hearts to create this longing to know our sins forgiven. I can well remember when it was my experience here in the city of Toronto. You know, when God spoke to me on a Sunday night after a gospel meeting in this city, I got saved the very same night. Oh, friend, I would like to say to you, God is not expecting you to go through a ritual to get salvation or an experience. He's looking for you as a sinner to believe his word, that you might be brought out of the darkness of your lostness to the blessed liberty and the joy of God's salvation in Christ. He was longing. God spoke to him. Has God spoken to you, dear young friend, in the meeting? What did God speak to this man about? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, that so got into that man's mind, and so got into his heart, that's the only thing he could think about. I'm a sinner. What am I ever going to do? I'm a sinner. I need God to deliver me. I need God to be merciful to me. If I die in my sin, I'll perish forever. Is there hope with God? Is there hope for a sinner like me? And the longing of his soul was to know the burden lifted, the sins forgiven. Oh, is there such a heart in this meeting tonight? Then I say to you kindly, friend, this gospel meeting is intended for your joy and your salvation. God has a message for longing hearts, a longing sinner. Listen to the language as he breathes out from the depth of his soul. He's not writing a prayer on a paper that he might recite it before God. He's not trying to get the grammar right and all these type of things that would come into a normal mind for a public prayer. Mind you, I'm not saying they're wrong, but the point is, this man has got beyond worrying about what people may think if they hear him pray. He's got beyond, what are people going to say about me now? It's got down into his soul, until the breathing of his heart is Godward. And he says, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what's gotten into his heart. He's longing that God would have mercy on him. Oh, is there a soul present here tonight? And the deep longing of your heart is, oh God, don't let anything happen to me. I'm still a sinner and I need to be saved. Oh, I trust, dear young friend in the meeting, before you close your eyes in your bed tonight, that you would take a moment to bow your knees by your bedside. If you do not get saved before this meeting closes, and you take your way home tonight, and God is pleased to spare you, whatever you do, give God thanks for keeping you out of hell. For that's where you deserve to be as a sinner, and so do I. I thank God every day that I'm not in hell. And I'm thankful I never will be there. My friend in the meeting, longing to know the burden, longing to know the mercy of God lest you perish. Look at what the Lord Jesus has to say about this man. There's hope for longing sinners. There's salvation for longing hearts. You'll notice the third thing that I wish you to notice about this man is he's discovered his lostness. You see him as he strikes his breast. Look upon this poor, dejected individual. Is it possible it finds an echo in your heart? Lonely. Longing to know divine mercy and forgiveness for his sins. He looks within, and what can he say about himself? He's not concerned with what the other people say about themselves. And he's not concerned about talking about other people. The other man, he was concerned about what people thought about him, and he was concerned that he wouldn't be like other people. But this man has gotten to the place where when he looks within, all he can say is, there's nothing but sin. I'm done. I'm lost. I'm going to die and go to hell. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The most serious, solemn thought to enter a man's soul. I am a sinner before God. My friend, that eliminates every ray of hope. There isn't a ray of hope on the horizon for a sinner who dies in his sin. Not a ray of hope. There's not a thread to grasp, friend. And that's gotten into this man's soul. He searched himself and he finds, I've got nothing. I have nothing to meet God with. I have nothing to help myself with. If God doesn't have mercy on me, I'll perish as a sinner through and through. Top to bottom, inside and out. Every square inch of me, I'm a sinner. He's locked. At the dark moment, I experienced it too. I wonder if there's one here. Can I appeal to your dear friend? And as you sit there, your heart would almost burst and your eyes would almost flood with tears at the consciousness I'm lost. I've got nothing to grasp. I have nothing to keep me out of the pit. Oh God, I'm perishing. I'm lost. But as I close this meeting, I would like you to look at this man. We have spoken of him as a sinner that was loved of God. You see, God had made provision for his people in picture language. He used the sacrifices. These were blood sacrifices, but they were only pictures of the tremendous value of the sacrifice of his own beloved son. Friend, in this meeting, God would have sinners look back to Calvary. God would have sinners lift their eye away from themselves, away to Calvary. God has found a satisfaction for sin in the person of his own beloved son when his blood was shed voluntarily at Calvary. The Word of God says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The virtue that delivers emancipates the poor, captive, sin-stained soul is the precious blood of Christ, shed 1900 plus years ago on Golgotha's middle tree. The sinless Savior died. His life blood was shed. Willingly he gave himself, friend, in the accomplishment of that great love of which you've been hearing tonight. None could stop him. Nothing could deter him. Nothing would be compromised. The Son of God, he yielded himself to Calvary. And God looked upon that blessed sacrifice of Christ. And God raised him from the dead. And his word declared, this man offered one sacrifice for sins and forever sat down at the right hand of God. My friend, that great work for sin has already been accomplished. Don't look within tonight, dear longing soul. There's nothing but darkness there. Don't look to others to give you deliverance. This man just took a little faith. Rising from the altar was the smoke. God intended that. Wherever the people of Israel were, they could look toward the temple. And behold, the smoke was rising. What did it speak of? An accepted sacrifice. Oh, friend, tonight, the Word of God, so mercifully given to us poor, perishing, dark sinners, declares a work that God has found everlasting satisfaction in regard to sin. And God adds the blessed word of this text that is before you here tonight in the front of this pulpit. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, friend, if you were to receive everlasting life tonight, you'd know you have it.
And like this dear man,
the burden would be lifted, and you could go home with the blessed assurance, my sins are gone. My soul is delivered from the wrath to come. I trust there's someone here tonight, and should it be your experience, as you sit in this little audience now, your friend, we entreat you, look away to Calvary. It was a look of faith. This man believed the word of God about that sacrifice. And friend, in the meeting, that's why God has given you his word. God said concerning his blessed son, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are saved. That's what this man saw. He saw that the blood, the death of the sacrifice was required of God, but it was sufficient to meet his need, and he rested there. He took God at his word, and God, good to his word, gave the man the assurance of sins forgiven. Sinner in the meeting, we entreat you on behalf of the Lord Jesus, the great author of the gospel. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is there a poor, lonely, longing, sinful heart here tonight, lost in your darkness? Look away to Calvary. It is God's answer for your deepest need. And God says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Oh, what peace could be yours right now. As a sinner, you would look away from self and take God at his word and look to Christ to meet your need. And God's word for it, thou shalt be saved. If that be your case, dear soul in the meeting, look to Christ tonight. And be saved now for eternity. Let us close with prayer. Our God in heaven, we commend to thee the utterance of thine own word. We do bless thee gratefully for the truth of Romans chapter 5. We love to dwell upon the blessedness of Christ who died for the ungodly. Oh, how many there are in this audience, and personally they rejoice before thee tonight for the precious truth of that. And we give thanks again that it is still as good as ever, and we bless thee it is available for lost sinners tonight. We pray that thou bless thy word, O